Welcome to Starving the Rest On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just from my hour, join us for my talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or you can search for SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call. You will find us there. Also, if you want to join us in the chat room, go over to twitch.tv. So to find us there, just go to twitch.tv/SFU on call and you'll find us there. I co-broadcast over there. Now, if you want to see my lovely face, go over to twitch.tv. You'll see me broadcasting my lovely face to everyone and anyone there. Now, every once in a while, I actually have an episode where it actually behooves you to do that. Of course, also we have a version of the podcast is also up on YouTube to watch and listen to. And of course, if you want to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my podcast account, the one I use for podcast things, it's also SFU on call. If you want to follow me as just me, warning, I'm very happy to be a Catholic and O's fan, and also I love technology. So any of those bothers you, then don't follow me, because you'll hear it every once in a while that I actually post something, which is a rare thing. Mostly it's retweets, and even those are few and far between, so I'm not going to fill up your feed with all of my content, because I'm not there about being me. It's not about the... whatever. Moving on. And of course, I have the Franz Games account, so if you want to follow what's going on with Franz Games, that's the account to follow, and that's FRANZGAMES. That's no T in that. So, the only reason I have to say that is because I came up to Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden, I'm finding T's in the France. I'm not sure where they came from. It just came. So, moving onward and forward. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Pedrick is well enough to be back on the BBS. And that is wonderful to see that he's getting active, you know, back with A to B. Now, obviously, he's been in the hospital for quite a few months now. In and out. He's had his two cataract surgeries, eye surgeries, to help him. Now they actually can see. And there's quite a few people have been fussing at him, you know, especially Steve Cole, this one of his best friends, from not taking care of but of himself, you know, and had to go this far. And also, another announcement from A to B this week is also Captain's Log number 50 is going to be coming soon to an ebook reseller soon, very soon. That's, you know, Warehouse 23, Drive-Thru RPG, and Wargame Vault. So moving on, onward and forward to the SWB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star tournament number 11. Yes, this is the 11th one. Shocking, ain't it? And we've already had round one is completely completed. Round two, we only got one game left. And of course, round three, there actually is one set matchup because it's the semifinals. And we have 3 out of 4 games done in round two. So we're waiting for that game to be done. So things have been rolling around quite well. And it's good to see that things are rolling. When it comes to the library, when it comes to SAB line, the library, there's actually been some corrections to it. Thank you, Frank, for posting those corrections. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the Paul from Welcoming You, Starfleet Universe, on call. And tonight, well, actually, it's going to be kind of a little bit quieter because it's just going to be me and we have Barry, and I know Dave's hanging around some way. Hey, how you doing, Barry?
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, I had a hell of a time getting home from Cincinnati.
No, I did not. No, I don't remember hearing anything.
So Wednesday, my wife went in the hospital for surgery. But Tuesday, my boss said they needed me at a meeting. Actually, it was a retirement party for one of my coworkers. So that was their excuse to get me into the office on Tuesday, which is in Cincinnati. So 5 a.m. flight out of Harrisburg, and my return flight arrived in Harrisburg at 11:56. Or at least that's what the plan was. Everything went swimmingly. So I'm on the plane. I boarded the plane from... So my connecting flight home was through Chicago. So I'm on the plane in Cincinnati. I boarded the plane. I'm sitting there. They close the door. And it's like, okay, put your phones in airplane mode. I'm about to do that. And a text comes in. Your flight from O'Hare to Harrisburg has been delayed. Over 16-hour delay.
Oh!
And I'm like, and if you had told me that a half hour ago before I boarded that plane, I would not have boarded that plane. I would have been able to drive home from Cincinnati.
Right, right. Oh, agreed. I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Well, now it's an hour flight. An hour and a half flight from Cincinnati.
In the wrong direction.
We land, and I can't, which is the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Push one time zone west. We land in O'Hare, and I'm calling, you know, the airline saying, okay, what's going on? You know, what can we do? And they're like, well, we can't put you on any other flights. I'm like, what's the... Now they're calling for 12:45 p.m. following day. So after tomorrow, so from 8:30 at night to tomorrow afternoon. I'm like, okay, what do you have tonight? And they said, well, you know, we can't get you to Harrisburg. I said, what other airports can you get me to? How about Philly? How about Charlotte? Like, well, we can get you into Philly about 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, okay, let me look at that. Can I get a car rental at one in Philly in 1:30 in the morning? No.
Yeah, that's...
And remember that I woke up at 1:30 in the morning Tuesday, so I've been up for a while. And they're like, and I went and checked, and it's like, no, I can't even get a car rental. So I would be stuck in Philly either way. So it didn't make sense.
Right.
Okay. So it's like, okay. I might as well get going to Harrisburg. So it's like, I got a hotel for the night in Chicago. And now I'm sending a nasty gram email to the airline saying, well, with an over 4 hour delay, and it was mechanical issues. I mean, we land in Chicago, blue sky, airport's in solid condition. It's like, yeah, there's no weather. And they told me it was mechanical. Like, okay, anything over 4 hour delay, they're supposed to be responsible for that. Like, okay, we'll put you up in a flea bag hotel. Like, no, I ain't going staying in a flea bag hotel. Sorry. I went and stopped in the Fairfield, which is a decent hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, equivalent to a Hampton. It's Marriott's low end. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And yeah, so I'm gonna say to them, I want to charge them for that hotel, one meal. I have a receipt. And the other part is I had to park for an additional day. So I think they should pay for the additional parking fee. And I think that there should be something else for compensation for aggravation. Because by the time I got home, I went went home for a few minutes, and I went to the hospital, and they went up. They said, "Oh, just go up to the room that we're going to put your wife in." And I got to the room a few minutes before my wife got there. Well, somebody else had to take her to the surgery.
Okay. Sorry. Anyway. On to less.
What's going on is that. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, what's been going on is that all the airlines have a problem. They all staffed down during COVID, and now they gave everybody early retirement. Now they, you know, people are flying like crazy, and they can't staff up, so they have no reserve.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that they'd have a whole bunch of, you know, crews and planes in reserve, and if something went down, they could, you know, if a crew went down or a plane went down in terms of, you know, maintenance or whatever, right, or somebody got sick, they could have a substitute reserve team that they could throw in there. Now they don't have the reserve, so if one plane goes down, that's six flights canceled because that plane was going to fly six times.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I've heard craziness about all the cancellations that are happening with the airlines. It's just nuts. But yeah, overall, the whole thing
seems to be worse with the puddle jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Only thing I was gonna say is that the whole thing with COVID. There's so many things that have happened because of it. Some of it is just purely because of, you know, a lot of the airlines, and then of course rental car agencies, all of them, they staffed down and also got rid of additional just laying around resources. You know, in the case of car rentals, they got rid of a lot of their cars. You know, and so when people come back, they had no cars. Shocker. So they're behind.
Oh yeah.
And then of course we have, you know, them of course let go some people or retirement or whatever, and that, and they're asking some people to get to come out of retirement to staff up in some cases, and then other cases I'm sure, you know, with them basically being, you know, let go or whatever, you know, they're going, you know, I've been without that job and I'm much happier, so I'm not going back, you know. It's after COVID. Well, the whole COVID has made people really rethink what they do, the jobs that they have, and what, you know, priorities in their lives. You know, I really feel that way. But anyhow, let's get on to a normal subject,
because I can talk for hours on that subject. But go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, understood. Understood. And that, you know, I don't want to continue working on it because this is not supposed to be about, you know, the world at hand or the world we deal with today. This is supposed to be a fun podcast, you know, one about Starfleet Universe, about playing games, about having fun, about things quite a bit less serious. You know, obviously there are some certain subjects we do bring up every once in a while that are serious. For example, you know, when Steve Cole had a surgery, and also, of course, Steve Petrick had his surgery, you know, those things are very, very, very real, you know. And I'm not sure if you remember this guy. I'm not sure if I – was that before the podcast, I think? I think it was before the podcast. I was actually – yeah. The senior judge, many, 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 many years ago, for those people who went to Origins, yeah, I know, I have to change the title of the podcast. Chris is saying, you know, tonight on the Air Travel Nightmares podcast, yeah, that's what it sounds like. But anyway, Joe Butler, many, many years ago, beloved.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, he... for many, many years, especially during the interim, you know, when ADB basically couldn't really sell their games, they could put out the newsletters, you know, the Starfleet Times newsletters to keep the community together and going, you know. And any tournaments weren't run by ADB. You know, Joe Butler would go to Origins, organize the tournament, and run it. You know, and he died many, many, many years ago. You know, and he actually he lived near me, kind of near me in Norristown. You know, and I never got together with him. You know, he even had a CPAP. You know, he had a CPAP machine. I remember him having a CPAP machine because I shared a room with him one time. Well, you know, hey, when you go to Origins, you got to save money, and that's one way to do it. And Lord knows, with you know, it especially. I still remember one year I went to Origins, and I shared it with two other guys, and they were great. You know, these guys were fine. They were good roommates. The only issue that I had was at the end of the con and getting everyone to pay up. That was the difficult part. It's not that they didn't have the money. It's that the tracking them down, because one of them was in was basically left the room that morning before I got up. And he went to one of the, I forget what tournament it was, and I had to track him down to get the money. It's like because at the moment, you know, when we got there, the hotel room I had on my credit card, and then they paid me cash, you know, for their part, you know, so
right.
I think I was. That year I was staying at the. I was staying at the Hilton. I was staying at the Hilton that year.
Yeah. Well, to tell you the truth, if you ever have to go to a con with me again, the benefit is I've switched to a higher end hotel than Hilton.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But.
I switched over to Marriott. And they're a lot nicer.
Is Drury part of the Marriott?
No. Okay. Drury is a very nice hotel. It's a small chain.
Yes.
And I've been to a few of them.
Oh,
they're nice.
Oh, I know. I went to a couple of them myself. Actually, I only went to one, and that was the one in Columbus. Mm-hmm. I was there. I got a room there. Oh, that was crazy. That was the craziest thing. Is that okay? I got a room there the first year. And the thing is, word got out that the Drury was a great hotel. So before I left that Origins, I was working on trying to get a room for the next year. Because I know I was going to come, and I wanted to stay at the Drury. So I tried to make arrangements, and I give this guy my phone number because of there's nothing available. So I told him, okay, here's my phone number. You know, he said, if you want to leave your phone number, I'll give you a call if something comes up. Something came up. I said, great, I'll be over there, and give me 10 minutes, I'll be over there. So. So I run over to the Drury, sit down, you know, put down, here's my credit card. I want that room. So, you know, basically everyone else was doing exactly the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's last year I stayed at the Drury.
Oh, you went to Origins last year.
Mm-mm. This was like how many years ago now? Many, many years ago. It was the first 2 years of Drury was actually in Columbus. I haven't been to Origins since ADB left. Meaning, you know, stopped going to Origins.
I think that was the year that we went together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And we stayed across the street. Yeah. Actually, I forgot what the hotel name is. But I actually stayed.
That was.
Red Roof Inn?
Before I really was getting my free hotel nights.
Right.
What's that?
Was it, I think, the Red Roof Inn? I'm trying
could
to
remember. Could have been. That was, as I said, that was before I was getting my free rooms.
Oh, understood. Yeah, I remember that I stayed, it was across the big wide street that ran in, along that.
I remember that. Yeah.
That street where they had the Hilton, had another hotel right across the street, and the Drury was, you know, down the block. And right across from the Drury was, the Red Roof Inn. And the parking for the Red Roof Inn was across the street, on the other side of the street. And I remember, I remember that. That was, okay, it turned out well. You know, I enjoyed the hotel. I went there multiple times the year afterwards. You know, I went there that one time. And then, of course, you know, I still remember the one year when I had not planned on going because of my wife and I, we just moved to Redding, or actually Sinking Spring at this point. And that first year, I sent out this one email to people, and actually I printed it out because I looked at this email and I was kind of impressed. I went, this looks really good. I got to print this out. You know? And I left it. I left that just because I printed it out just because I said it was one of the few bits of writing I did that I felt proud of. You know? Because I've very few of those. Actually, I did something of that for my job like last year. There's something I worked many, many hours. I worked so many hours on. Writing all this stuff up, and I was really proud of what I did. It was one of the few times I was proud of what I wrote. Really proud.
Okay.
And my wife happened to read it and told me go, just go, you know. So I last minute I
enjoy yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a hotel. It was like a couple blocks away. From the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And every single morning I had to walk there. Actually, what was interesting about that one is that there's this one building, and basically, there was a a crosswalk, which was over the street, so you didn't have to actually walk on the street. And I still remember that being just so freaking blazing hot to walk through in the summer because there was no air conditioning in that tunnel. It just, it was stuffy and just hot, you know? And I still remember that hotel. Cause one thing
better across the street itself,
I forgot the name of the hotel at the moment, but the one thing about that hotel that they were in the middle of renovating it while I'm staying there. And what freaked me out, I come back from Origins one day, and all my luggage is gone. Freaked out for a bit because what they had done, they'd taken all my luggage, they threw it in the closet. There's a little closet which it was right on the right where the sink was because they had a nice long sink and counter for getting ready, nice. And then right across from that is a closet which with sliding doors, and they put all my stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were replacing the carpet while I was staying in the room,
and I didn't even put a note up saying, hey, we're going to be in the room.
Nope. Because one thing I remember about that, and they were doing the whole floor. I remember walking out the door and them actually, when I got there, that's what it was. When I got there, you saw they were actually working on the floor you know, in the hallway. You know, they pulled up the carpet and they were rolling it all out and all that kind of thing. You know, it's that one freaked me out when that happened. It's like, what happened to my stuff? I wish they would put it out like on the bed. You know, it'd be nice to the, you know, so I wouldn't have freaked out.
Right.
Yeah, because fortunately, you know.
I can understand that would be a freak out. Where's my stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, most of my important stuff, which was my SFB stuff and my laptop, that was with me. I carried that with me wherever I went. I did not leave in the room. But, you know, but all my clothes and toiletries and all that kind of thing were missing. Well, my toiletries were still in the bathroom. But, yeah, it was a minor freak out. But, you know.
Yeah, it would be a freak out.
Yep. It actually was in Columbus. I was thinking about when I got my Rated Ace card. Because I'm sure I've mentioned it multiple times on the podcast. And that is that after I got my Rated Ace card, I never played again at Origins. I judged. I volunteered to be a judge from that point onward. Because that was my only goal with Origins is I wanted to get a Rated Ace card. That was the only thing I wanted, you know. So I was like, okay, I got my Rated Ace card. But the thing is, that year, that was the year I did something really ultra stupid. And I don't think I'll ever do that again. In fact, I'm positive I'll never do it again. I'll never make that assumption again. And that was I'm flying my Andro coming in on this black shark. He's not firing at me. He's like, why is he not firing at me? Okay, fine. I'm gonna get really close.
Wait for the tractor option.
No, wasn't tractor. But you know, he fires me early. And I go, fine. Fire me early. Okay, fine. Okay. Didn't do too well. You know, I was like, okay, great. I'm gonna keep barreling in him because guess what? You got nothing. He launches two shuttles. Two shuttles, well, whatever. You know, they must gonna be fired the phaser threes, that'd be whatever. You know. I run over these. Guess what? They're suicide shuttles.
Oh God, two suicide shuttles, yeah.
Yep. Boom, internals, and at that point I lost the game. I couldn't recover after that.
Yeah. And like, that's he's probably like, come on, he's gonna shoot at it.
Yeah.
Holy crap, he didn't shoot at it. Boom.
Yeah. Exactly, that was one of those things that after that, I will never have that happen to me again. I'll never assume that a shuttle is just a shuttle. Never, ever, ever again have I ever, where I'm going to actually overrun it. You know, never, never, never. Always assume it's a suicide shuttle until it actually shows its face and fires. Or until you actually can have an opportunity to lab it.
I've done stuff like that before too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was with the Bundy brothers. Oh wow, I remember those. Dr. Bundy and actually was it not his brother? I think it was his son. The Bundys, they love playing the Wax. You know. And they were both there that year.
Yeah.
You know, this is because Lord knows those were the heyday. That was greatest when it comes to Starfleet battles before the inundation of the European games in my mind. When a lot of the games, a lot more were tactical board games, you know. And most of the other games, they were like games that you buy, like the Game of Life, Monopoly, Scrabble, things like that, you know.
Right.
But before, you know, actually people started creating these great, great games, you know, Puerto Rico, all these.
I've played that with Timer 3.
Timer 3, you probably played like 20 times or more. I know we've played it.
Many more.
yeah, understood. But that was when you could easily get somewhere between 75 to 100 people. 100 people, can you imagine 100 people? 100 people actually sitting down and doing most other gaming, playing one game called Starfleet Battles. And they would do this for a weekend. And that's why, to me, these days, the only kind of tournament you can have these days is single elimination. Because of to do an actual patrol style, you know, you basically do as many matchups as possible in a short period of time, and then after that you pick the top 16. You know, in two different ways. You know,
right.
Most number of games won versus on one bracket, and then the highest deltas, you know, wins over losses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could do that, but the only way you can do that, the only way you can do that is because of everybody was there and dedicated their a lot of their work, their playing hours, playing Starfleet Battles. You can't do that online.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
No.
You know, and so.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't at all. So it all has to be single elimination these days. So. Mm. But that, you know, that is what it is. It's just the change in how we play and what we play. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, the tough part is getting people involved, you know. Though, obviously, as much as I hate it, and I do hate it, Facebook is the great equalizer. In that you can get a topic, and you can gather a lot of people around that one topic. From all parts of life, you know, rich, poor, you know, Cincinnati to California, to Florida, to Alaska, to England, to Japan. You can be anywhere. You can be talking to these people all over the world about that one topic or one subject. Mm-hmm. In this case, you know, Starfleet Battles. Actually, that was a funny part, is that, you know, I log into Facebook because I log into Facebook every single week these days, at least once, actually a couple times usually, because I have to log in for tonight because I check on ADB to see what they posted, you know, any news that they've posted on Facebook, because that's the main place where they place it. And also I do the same thing for Starfleet Warlord on the weekends, because of that's usually where I interact with the people who play Starfleet Warlord, which reminds me, I got emailed this one guy who wanted to play a learner's game, and I sent out the game to him on Sunday, but I'm not sure if he ever received it. And I haven't heard anything back from him, so I'll have to wait and see. Maybe he's going to wait for the 2 weeks, because it's a two-week, I think I left it at the two-week turnaround, but he can give it to me as soon as he wants. But anyhow, the funny part was that I was reading a post about SFB Online, and they're going, you know, the SFB Online really should be free. It's like, free?
Uh-huh.
Excuse me? Who's gonna pay?
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, who's gonna pay? You know, if you say, you know, if I do everything else for the kindness of my heart, i.e., do development on the client, you know, help manage things when it comes to the servers and manage the things about, you know, the supporting the client and all that kind of thing. That's it. That's not worth anything, which I don't think it's not worth anything. But who's gonna pay for the servers, for those things that cost me money to pay for it?
Oh yeah.
I can't pay it out of my own pocket. Jeez. You know, I don't make that much money off of SFB Online as it stands. Most of it, when it comes to SFB Online,
most of us volunteer.
No, a lot of people volunteer to help out. That's the only reason why the library is as good as it is. You know?
Yeah.
It's because we have those volunteers to do those. You know?
Speaking about those volunteers, is Aaron Staley still doing any of that?
Not lately. And as he walked away from it for a while, he came back around 6 months ago, tried to get something started, and then it basically halted because he kind of disappeared. You know, we didn't see any emails from him or so forth like that. I talked to him this past week. And he's doing fine.
Oh,
you know, but you know.
Tell him I said hello.
Oh, I will.
Because I haven't heard from him. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Chris is reminding people that paying for SFB Online is $5 a month. You have to buy at least 3 months, i.e., $15, but. Tell me you don't have $15 to pay. You know? No, I'll have to admit that there is one guy who you say, you know, I'm not getting the value for it. It's like, okay, I understand that. I respect you that you're not getting the value which you think that how much you're paying for, you're not getting that much value back. I can respect that. And yeah. I'm not sure if I talked about this before, but I think I did, which is the whole idea of basically micropayments kind of thing. Or that is the idea being that I'm not going to say pay per game, because in my mind, paying per game can be gamed. You can start one game and then kids just keep on going, you know, delete ships, add ships and all that kind of thing, and keep on going forever on that one game. It's like, no. I understand that most people would not do that, but no. So I was thinking, okay, one way of an easy way of doing it, that is so many cents per turn. So each turn, basically do something like Starfleet Warlord. Starfleet Warlord, it costs you to send in the turn and have it processed. Costs $4 for each turn. And you have to submit a new turn every single 2 weeks. So it costs you like $8 a month. And that's if you're only playing in one game. This is per game. There are some players that I've had that are currently involved sometimes they're involved in three games at the same time. So they're spending,
nice.
Yeah, $20 and $30 a month. And some of these people are paying or submitting manual orders. What that means is they write down their orders on paper, they either fax or scan it in and send it to me via email, and then I type them in for them. But that's $7 a turn. So if they're in three games, for that month. That and that. So let's say you got 2 weeks for each one. So you have to pay twice for those three games, and they're manual orders. That's $42 a month that these people are paying.
Wow.
Exactly. So I was figuring, you know, one way of doing it in theory is have it, so let's say it's 10 cents a turn. So every turn that you play, if you play a five turn game, that will be 50 cents. If you play a 10 turn game,
cheap.
Yeah, a 10 turn game, that's a dollar. So basically, the more you play, the more you pay. But of course,
mm-hmm.
What I'd have to do if I was to do that is to do it like the Warlord model. The Warlord model is you give me money. And when you run out of money, you stop playing. You know, your turns are no longer right. Processed. Everything halts until you put more quarters into the machine.
Yeah.
You know? And if people would prefer a model mm-hmm. like that, that's fine. You know, I can, in theory, I can do that. You know, and then if you want to, you can also have the regular $5 a month model where you, at the moment, to me, it makes no, I will not charge people $5 a month. Just because of, I have to double check this, but I'm pretty sure that the problem is with only spending $5 is transaction fees are a heck of a lot more of the percentage wise of the money that I get than if you pay a larger amount. Larger amount you get, the less my transaction fees overall. Because Lord knows, credit cards do not like
that
it when
you. Make sense.
Don't like it when you spend small amounts of money. The credit cards were never designed for micropayments.
Well, they actually love it because they make a lot of money on the percentage there.
Right. Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. Agreed. They charge the smaller vendors, you know, that the only you're spending $2 or $3 with. Those smaller amounts, they rank up, you know, the amount of fees that they have associated with that amount of money. You know, so we don't see it. They see it. And that's why I know there are some places that you can't use your credit card below $10. In theory, you're not.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. Right. You're not supposed to do that. You know, the vendor's not supposed to do that, but they do. I know there's one. At the Wine Missing Farmers Market here near Reading, and their minimum is $5. They will not take credit cards under $5. And
I can understand that,
and so I do my best to pay cash. You know, no transaction fees for them if I give them cash. Of course, sometimes it's hard to give them cash. Because every time,
whenever I eat at a restaurant, I always use a credit card because I've been pretty much cash free.
Mm-hmm.
But I leave monster tips.
Right, understood. Yeah,
I'm off my diet today, and I actually went out to a diner, and I think I left a $10 tip for a $20 lunch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've done that. Easily. I'd easily do that. The craziness. They talk about, oh, cashless.
Well, I'm also looking at it going, with the inflation, I'm figuring these waitresses are probably hurting big time.
Oh, agreed.
They need the money.
Oh, agreed. But, you know, real quickly, which is the. They talk about cashless society. And I'm going, never happened. Because or you know, yeah. go you know, go with digital currencies, which we're for the most part we're already doing, you know, because how much usually the everything gets gone through credit cards or debit cards or whatever, you know. But we'll never go cashless, and here's the reason why.
Yeah.
Because of you have the disadvantaged, the poor, the homeless. They have no way of having a bank account or some way to store that digital money. They have no way of doing that. But they have ability to stuff dollar bills in their pockets.
They're making it. They're making the things like Bitcoin cheaper and cheaper to access.
Let's not talk about Bitcoin. Speculative market. God love it. I see Bitcoin as basically a stock.
What's that?
I see Bitcoin as basically a stock at this point.
Mm.
It's completely speculative. Currently, last time, the funny part is, have you ever seen these? Which is a Bitcoin kiosk?
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, I got one.
I haven't used one yet.
Yeah, neither have I. I have one at the Redner right by me. But every single time I go past it, I look to see what is the current Bitcoin rate. You know, how much is it worth?
Mm-hmm.
One Bitcoin is worth what? And, of course, right now it's down to around, I think I stopped by, last time I walked past it, it was like $31,000 for one Bitcoin. Now, at one point, it was worth $60,000 for one Bitcoin. So, i.e., it's very highly volatile. And, of course, then we have the whole issue when it comes to cryptocurrencies is that there's no laws in place, no protections in place. It's like the Wild Wild West all over again when each bank had their own cash, their own currency. Each bank would have its own currency. We had no unified currency, which, you know, was used by everybody. You know, it's worth how much you know,
the dollars are not holding up too well, are they? They're losing value big time.
Well, it's
inflation.
We have inflation, yeah. But and so, you know,
Dover seems to be holding up pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Understood. But the
silver seems to be holding up pretty
good. I know. I heard you. I'm just ignoring it. I know that's where you save your money. You know? But anyway, the point is being is that there's no protections in place. You know, after a certain point in time in the history of the U.S., we had the FDIC guarantees insurance about monies in the bank. That this bank's going to hold so much, you know, has so much actually available to them. And there's also protections for us if that bank disappears. When it comes to these days, if you have your cryptocurrencies at these exchanges, i.e. not your own wallet, then if they go under, they take your coins with them. Or if you get your coins, crypto
exchange, currency. You're not actually getting the Bitcoins. You're getting not actually giving you Bitcoins.
Right, because in some cases they're the ones who have the wallet. You don't have if you don't have your own wallet, they have your wallet. So you're trusting that you'll have the money, that they'll give you your money. You can do that, you know, but, and also then of course then is when someone steals your cryptocurrency, you have no recourse. It's gone, you know, and if you do something dumb, your money's gone. You'll never get back. Unlike if you like use a credit card, you do something and someone steals your credit card, what happens? Oh, you can reverse the charges and you get your money back. You know, so there's protections in place when it comes to using that. So, and of course, then if you want to get down to it, then you have the whole thing when it comes to a non, while we can never have a cashless society, is anonymity. If that, the government would love to have it so you don't have any anonymity whatsoever. But, you know, there's...
That is true.
They want to know every single bit of money they spend. Now, in theory, it's just for, we want to track the criminals. But the criminals will get around it, no matter what. If they have to, they'll go back to the old system, the original system before there was even the idea of currency. And that is the barter system. You know, there will always be something to get around it. So, but anyhow, sorry. Go down that rabbit hole.
No. Yeah, I'm not. I like that conversation.
Oh, I know you like that conversation, but it's not related to SF.
A lot of that.
No, actually, it kind of, actually, in the way, it is kind of related.
I wasn't going to stop you, though.
Oh, I understand. In a disparate way, you know, kind of a side glance way, it's kind of related to Star Trek and that universe. Because in that universe, have you ever seen the idea of cash in Star Trek? It's always this many credits, this many credits.
Yes, I did.
You know?
Well, okay, so their unit of currency was called a credit, but they didn't say what a credit was. Although, right. In Deep Space Nine, Quark was always paid in gold plated latinum.
Yep. Well, that's their own currency.
He liked his latinum.
Oh, he loved gold plated latinum. Oh, yes, he did. Now, that was, I enjoyed Deep Space Nine. I watched every single episode, all the way to the final episode, every single one. Brings it back to Star Trek. Have you watched the Strange New Worlds episodes?
No.
Okay. I have. I've been enjoying them tremendously.
Well, that's good. That's good.
The latest one was kind of weird. But, you know, I saw where it was going towards the back end of the episode, you know. The whole idea of this child was ascending, you know. And when they finally said, you know, we got to take him to, he ascends. And I'm going, you know what? I think I know what that is. And yep, it is exactly what I thought it was going to be. And to me, what was interesting is, okay, this person is telling Captain Pike that this is, you know, we try to figure out a way of around this, but basically the people who initially set up their society said, you know, this is the only way that this computer, this mechanism can work, because basically you have to connect up a human brain into the system to keep the world running, basically, you know, which is in my mind interesting to say the very least. But I understand to a certain degree how that could come into be when it comes to society. The whole idea is, how was it? There were three things that I only remember, two of them, which is being a servant and sacrifice, which is thinking about others above yourself. And in this case, this child decided, you know, that he would sacrifice himself for the better good of society. You know, and I think that's, in a way, I think that's admirable. You know, the whole idea of, and there was all free will, because that's one thing. They're going through this ceremony of his ascension, And part of it is that, do you agree to do this of your own free will? And basically he says, yes. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And even after he, you know, he sees the other, the last child that had done this, you know, basically, you know, after he had to disconnect because it died, you know, he still went through with it, which I think is very admirable, you know, thinking of yourself over your own suffering, your own needs, that kind of thing. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
The one thing I've not watched actually is Picard. I think I talked about it before, which is the whole thing with the whole problem I have with Picard is the whole this season is the whole going back and trying to fix time. You know.
Oh God.
Try to restore to the original timeline. It's like, no. No. Dude, as soon as I saw that, I went click. I'll skip this season, thank you very much. Now, Strange New Worlds, I like it because of it. It's an old style TV series. Meaning each episode stands alone. It's no longer an episode is just another piece of the story. It's not like reading a book. It's like you're reading each episode is a little short story. You know, in that world. Yes, there's, to a certain degree, there is some, like the old TV shows. There is a tiny bit, very tiny bit, of history that goes through the episodes. You know, in this case.
Well, assuming that you had the same author or the same writer for that episode as the previous episode, yeah.
But
there were a couple of regular.
But the whole idea of there are certain things, and I'm sure you've seen TV shows like this where they'll go back and, you know, if you had not seen the previous episodes, they recap in certain important information about what you need to know for this episode. So you don't have to ever watch the previous episodes to know that, oh yeah, this happened previously. You know, which is always cool.
I've seen that all the time.
But in this case, the one thing that's kind of line of progression to a certain degree is Uhura. Uhura is a cadet. So part of being a cadet on the Enterprise is that she has to go be have a stint with every single department. So she's not just communication. See, this episode she was part of security. On another episode, she was I think medical. She helped out in the medical portion. Oh no, another one she did. She was in the engineering. You know, so you know, so you have to, as being a cadet, you have to visit all these, you have to be part of all these different departments, which is interesting. You know, I like the idea. You know,
that's interesting.
If you get a chance to watch it, I definitely would highly recommend it, just because I enjoy it. If you enjoy the original series, that you'd enjoy these. But the one crazy thing about it is that, of course, it's Captain Pike. The captain before...
Well, he was always a good character.
Right, but this case, what starts the whole...
Before the accident.
Right, that I was about to get to, which is... This is Captain...
He knew it was coming.
Right, he knows it's coming. He had a vision, not a vision. Well, he went to these monks where basically they, you go into the, you are actually can see into your future. In this case, he sees 10 years in the future and sees what happens to him, you know, and how, yeah, how it doesn't go well for him, though he saves many people, you know, and actually on right. One of the episodes, he actually looks them up, you know, so what, where they are at 10 years before the accident happens. And they're like children and kids. Of course, I'm looking at this and going, you know, I have a real problem with that.
You know what?
That, oh, I know the Orville's back. I've yet to see a single episode of the Orville. So maybe one of these years.
I wouldn't bother with it.
Okay.
It went downhill.
Okay. But anyway, the issue I had with that episode where they're showing, seeing the kids, like, wait a minute. So you're telling me any captain in Starfleet can find out information about someone else's kids? You know, they have access to that database to search for anybody.
You know, a little invasion of privacy.
Then. Yep, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, you know, I disagree with that. That was kind of a scary one. And then, of course,
There
was another episode where there's a security lock on this, what this person is supposed to be able to find out. But they kept on saying just override and just telling the computer to override the lock. And it's like, having the person who's not supposed to see the information be able to see the information, I disagree with that that altogether. The whole idea is that they're not supposed to see that information. Talk about lack security, you know, to me that's an issue. So
that is,
Anyhow, I think we'll wrap it up.
It's a good time because I'm falling asleep here.
Understood. Well, Barry,
I tend to do that on you.
Yeah, I know.
Been a pleasure.
Yeah, good night.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
So, things went a little sideways. Big surprise. But yes. So we got the. We actually got some Starfleet Universe stuff in there. Got to talk about Origins and many trials and travails at Origins, you know. Always enjoyed going to Origins, you know. Sorry, I've got sucked into Bitcoins and that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, and of course, drew it back into the Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, and that kind of thing, which is kind of Starfleet Universe adjacent. Close enough, you know. But anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.